Yeah, I know. I was saying, talking about being our undercover team for Fish and Game Special Operations Unit, SOU. My main responsibility, along with a couple of other guys, was to check commercialization of species, mainly marine species, fish, and things like that. Fish markets, stores, anybody, wholesalers, anybody that sold fish in California or landed fish had to have paperwork. So let's say you had a fish buyer that was met a boat at the docks and they offloaded fish. Everything that's offloaded in California has to have paperwork. There has to be a paperwork trail. So if that fish was bought from this fisherman, we had to see paperwork. Fish was landed on this day, this was the amount, this was the species of fish. And they had to have the right paperwork, licenses to process the fish and or sell the fish. So we would track it from the fisherman to the buyer to the market and wherever else, even restaurants. We could go into restaurants and if they had fish on the menu, we needed to see receipts to see where this fish came from. So, and that's how we would tell, you know, it'd give us an idea of where the fish were going to and things like that. So, which basically it also prevented the illegal commercialization of sport caught fish. So anyone that takes fish or any mammal under sport license cannot sell it.
And that's for consumer protection as well as the wildlife.
Exactly, because you have a restaurant that's buying fish from a guy that's fishing on the river and he's not a commercial fisherman, and who knows what they could be getting. You know, he might be getting a good price on the fish, but by the same token, and people are going to get sick.
Yeah.
So, you know. So we, you know, that's what we did. In addition to that, I spent a lot of time on counter surveillance throughout the state, backing up our other undercover wardens that were making, they were working on operations where illegal commercialization of abalone and things like that, and whatever the species might be. So, I mean, I traveled quite a bit for a year up and down the state working on our undercover team. So that was really rewarding. And then after I spent a year doing that, I was selected to represent Fish and Game. And I think it was more of an executive training assignment. It was a two-year training assignment with the Resources Agency at headquarters here in Sacramento. I worked during those 2 years, I worked with state parks and Department of Forestry. And I worked, I was doing, learning about the state budget process, the legislative process, public resources. I worked with OHV, Off-Highway Vehicle Division with state parks, and public relations. In addition to that, I was able to get my management certificate out of UC Davis. So that was a two-year training assignment, I think, and then we talked about networking back a little while ago, and that was probably one of the best assignments that I've ever had that helped me in my career. I think if anyone with any department has a chance to further their career as far as training and administrative issues and things like that, I think they should take advantage of it. And it certainly helped me promote to assistant chief position. So after that two-year training assignment, I was promoted to lieutenant position. I spent...
What year was that?
That was 89 or 90.
Okay.
Yeah. And I spent a year after that, worked at headquarters with the Range Development Program, and then we were using federal dollars to develop shooting ranges up and down the state. So we would provide in-kind matching dollars to shooting clubs that wanted to develop a shooting range for the public. So we would have guidelines where we would issue dollars if they met all the requirements for a fish and game range, for a public shooting range and things like that.
So. Okay, so fish and game is involved in some kind of...
Exactly.
...of controlling that? Or
yeah, well, we would be the funding source, because when the public buys camping equipment or fishing equipment, the tax dollars from those sales goes to a federal fund.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and the Fish and Wildlife Service would control those dollars, and then California would get a certain amount because, you know, the sales of camping equipment and fishing equipment generated so many tax dollars based on the population of the state. Mm-hmm. So California being one of the largest states in the union, we got more dollars than most states. Mm-hmm. So we would use those dollars to help develop shooting ranges. And then in addition to that, we would also run the hunter education program through volunteers, which came on later on in my career. But I spent a year doing that. Then I was assigned back to Region 2 as a lieutenant, where I started when I came up here in 85. Now I was a lieutenant supervising the guys I used to work with. Mm-hmm. So, and I spent, I think, a few years doing that. And then I took a captain's position. I was promoted to captain back to headquarters. And then I was overseeing our Fish and Game Academy out at Napa. I was also the training officer for the Department of Fish and Game statewide. We're responsible for providing training to 300 officers statewide. I was in charge of supervising our firearms committee, defensive tactics committee, our FTO committee, and in addition, field training officer committee. So when officers come out of the academy, they're assigned a field training officer. To after their academy is over with, they go through a 13-week program, additional 13 weeks of training, before they're even allowed to go ride by themselves. So some officers don't make that. They might pass the academy, but they won't pass the FTO program. And if they don't pass it, it's for their own safety, you know. And then when I came on, we didn't have that. So the department has developed, developed to come up with an FTO program and making sure that the officers are better prepared. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
And so I was a training captain for a while, and after that, I took the test for assistant chief's position, and I scored pretty high. And I figured, I was getting towards my career where, I either make chief here at headquarters or I don't. So I decided, let me take a captain's position back to Region 2, so I transferred out in the field again, supervising guys I used to work with. But this time I had, I supervised about 6 counties. I had lieutenants underneath me and fishing game wardens. So it was a bigger responsibility, dealing with a lot more judicial districts and a lot more constituents and things like that. So I figured, I'll take a captain's position. If I don't make chief, then I'll finish it out here as a captain, which is good, and I think I was captain for about a year out at Region 2. Mm-hmm. And I interviewed for an assistant chief's position, and I got it.
Nice.
So now I was back to headquarters again.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this time I was the project manager for the Hunter Education Program, which basically took federal dollars again. And we had about 1,500 Hunter Education instructor volunteers throughout the state. And they were trained to give the hunter education program to first-time hunting license buyers. So if you wanted to buy a hunting license to hunt in California, you had to take a hunter safety course. It's basically like a gun safety course, but the emphasis is on hunting and firearm safety and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically a 10-hour course, and we made sure that the instructors had all the proper supplies to do the courses statewide. We had to manage it. I had to develop budgets for 3-year budget contracts with the feds, the federal government, and basically run the program. And I know that right before I retired, California sponsored its first Hunter Education Association conference in San Diego, which I put on. And that was almost like a 2-year planning process to put that on, because when we did host it, every state in the union was represented at Canada, Puerto Rico, Mexico, all sent representatives to the conference. So during that time, the governor then Arnold declared the week that I had the conference as Hunter Education Week, and we had an assembly person. Give us a declaration also, a proclamation for Hunter Education Week. So it was kind of a feather in the state of California's cap to host the conference.
Yeah.
And it went off without a hitch, so it was good.
Good.
It was good.
So how do you think that, so when you retired, you retired as assistant chief?
Right.
Okay. So how do you think that, you were mentioning that the agency has developed, but how do you think it's changed from the moment that you started to now? What's the big change?
Well, I think that when I came on, and I know I was working in Southern California, and I remember one day, myself and another officer, the officer that worked out of Santa Barbara County, we were out there, and we were just every day watching the party boats come in from fishing trips, sport fishermen. Mm-hmm. Every day, everybody would come off with limits of fish. Every day. And then you had the commercial fishermen on top of that. And you had the boats that drag nets through the water. And then you had gill nets through the waters that caught fish. Gill nets is basically, if you can picture a tennis net, a volleyball net, mm-hmm. for a mile long in the water.
Oh, wow.
And probably hundreds of feet deep. Mm. And anything that slammed through that got caught.
Yeah.
And we're looking, how much can the resource take? I mean, one day we're going to run out of resources. This was back in 1980, 84, 85. And finally, towards the end of my career, you start seeing the resources, at least the fish that were coming in were a lot smaller. There was boats coming in that were getting skunked, no fish. And so, so what does that tell you? I mean, the resource is being depleted. So unless you had resource management, I mean, there are a lot more restrictions now as far as the taking of species with sport and commercial use. I know the job is more difficult now for the wardens that come in, because before, a species that was taken, a rockfish, was a rockfish. Now within the rockfish family, you have different species of rockfish. So now you had to learn what species of rockfish they could take. And if you've never had experience with looking at rockfish, mm-hmm. I got to the point where I just looked at a bag and okay, you're good. You can see that the species that we're taking are okay. Mm-hmm. Back in those days when I was doing it, a rockfish was a rockfish. You caught the fish and that was it. But, in addition to the sport take, and then you also had the poaching element that were out there, and they were just taken at will.
Yeah.
So I remember cases that I would make, we would get reports of guys coming in from Southern California and coming in and fishing off boats, and I think the skippers knew what they were doing, but they wouldn't turn it in. And so we would have to spend a lot of time on surveillance and catch these guys, and we did. And they were slammed in the court. It was great. We won.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you say, one of the things that you would like to say is that is the resource better off now than when I came on? And I would have to say no, because of the demand and the pressure that the public has put on the resource.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that as California grows, I think we're 36 million right now in California, mm-hmm. something like that. When I came on, there was probably less than 30 million people in California. And as people look to recreate, there's more pressure on the resources, whether it be marine or mammals or birds or things like that. Mm-hmm. So, and there's more restrictions because of environmental issues. That's a big part of that has impacted fishing game laws, environmental issues.
Right.
Before, I think there was a saying that the solution to pollution is dilution. Basically, if there was a spill on the street, hose it down with water and let it go down to storm drain. Those days are over.
Right.
Those days are over. You can't do that anymore.
Right.
If you have a spill, then, you do there's things in place. We now have a Office of Oil Spill and Response Unit throughout the state that deals with major oil spills throughout the state of California. And that's another function. A fish and game officer in California is not only a peace officer dealing with the resource, but also environmental issues. That has come up more so in the last few years because the environment is so critical right now.
Right.
And, people want clean water. Yeah, everybody wants clean water. And for that reason, we have restrictions, because the water, people you know, let loose or whatever down the storm drain is going into our creeks and is going to kill everything out there.
Right.
I remember on several occasions responding to calls throughout the state where we have a company releases something into the waters and everything dies. You can't see anything, but for some reason, something died. All the little marine life and or the aquatic life in the creeks, and you see it floating everywhere, but you don't smell anything. Mm-hmm. You don't see anything that's obvious, but then you backtrack to, you know, you go upstream and eventually you'll find the source. And basically you have illegal discharges somewhere in the state of California that you have to deal with. Mm-hmm. And I think companies, major corporations are aware of this. And that in order to do business in California, you're going to have to abide by environmental law, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just not... I mean, today's warden does a lot more than just go check a hunting license or a fishing license. A lot more demand on it. And lately, illegal drug trafficking is at the forefront of the... You know, you might have a district in your wherever you're assigned to where you've got major drug labs and things going on in your district, and you have to deal with it. Mm-hmm. So you're constantly working with local law enforcement agencies, sheriffs or city police or whatever, because you'll be out there and you run across an illegal marijuana field or whatever, and you know things have changed.
Yeah.
So.
There's different elements of,
exactly.
That they're dealing with. So,
right, yeah. Exactly. But it's still, you know what? I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Yeah.
It was a good experience for me, and I enjoyed it.
That's great. So I've been watching Wild Justice. You knew that was coming, right?
Yeah, you know what? A lot of those guys used to work for me.
Really?
Yeah. So it's good to see the guys that have progressed and now they're supervisors, too.
Yeah.
So, I remember before Wild Justice was out, they had another show that was Game Warden that was put on, and I actually was on that show, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I'm new to the whole fishing game world.
Mm-hmm.
So I started watching it just to do some research, and I was blown away. I did not know that fishing game did half of the things that I've seen. So that was surprising to me and impressive in a way, because I didn't realize all of the hands that they touched and
right.
all the areas that they touched. So what would you, if you, you know, the public is seeing this, and obviously it's a popular show because it just got picked up again,
mm-hmm.
I saw.
Yeah.
You know, people are watching it, but do you think it's representing fishing game in the right way?
I think maybe it's a double-edged sword, because there's good and there's bad about it. The good thing is people see what we're doing and what we're up against. That a game warden, as I mentioned, we're not just out there checking hunting licenses.
Mm-hmm.
We're dealing with another element, you know, environmental and the drug labs and
yeah.
poaching, organized poaching and things like that. People that grew up poaching, now their family members are poaching and their offspring and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a tradition there that we can take whatever we want, anytime we want. And that's what we're up against. And I think, like you mentioned, we talked about all those elements, you know, that a fishing game officer encounters today. most people aren't aware, wow, I didn't know they did that. And like I say, you know, now people know what we do, but by the same token, you know, why are they doing that, you know? Well, because it's our district. It's
mm-hmm.
it's that's what I patrol. It's my responsibility. And like I say, we're working a lot closer, hand in hand with local, you know, sheriffs
right.
and other state agencies. So, and I think throughout my career, one of the issues that we were always trying to fix is the game warden's salary.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a plus side of this program is, okay, most people would probably look, wow, I didn't know game wardens did this. They do a lot more than a regular police officer does. You know, I'm not saying that our job is more dangerous than another officer's job. And I think when you're dealing with a peace officer position, any time you respond to whatever the call may be, you know, there might be a time when you might have to use deadly force. You never know. And so...
especially when it comes to money.
Yeah.
You know, if poachers or hunters are...
Exactly.
Gaining, you know, monetary funds for their stuff, they're going to protect it. Same thing with the weed.
Exactly. I mean, the bottom line, if there's a demand for it and there's that demand creates or there's a money involved, it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Whether it's trafficking illegal species from other parts of the world. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been involved with cases that involve the trafficking, illegal trafficking of walrus tusk from Alaska to California. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and it happens. We go to gun shows, we go to different sportsmen's expos where we see illegal trafficking of game and right. illegal hunts and things like that. So, we have a lot of, I mean, like I say, if there's money to be made on the resource, it's going to be made. Mm-hmm. Your bass derbies that take place, your bass fishing tournaments, that's $1 million industry. Right. Guys make a living out of fishing, mm-hmm. you know, and there's been cases where guys have taken illegal fish and have won money off of them. So, but like I say, money, if there's money involved, there might be some illegal mm-hmm. activity there. So.
And they're going to protect it, and you're facing that with that
exactly.
situation.
Yeah. And then I think the program, I think, is the public would help the Fish and Game Department maybe put pressure on the state legislators to maybe, you know what, let's take care of the Fish and Game officers. Mm-hmm. I think they probably deserve a better pay than what they're getting now.
So do you think the reality show Wild Justice can help with that, or maybe it's already in the process of helping with that? Or?
Well, you know, if I'm working at headquarters as an assistant chief, I mean, the daily operations, you know, the responsibilities that we have there don't necessarily, you know, we don't talk about, okay, what's this guy doing in his district today. With us, it was mainly a legislative process, our budgeting process. I mean, you know, what do we need to make our warden's job in the field a lot easier? You know, what can we do for them to do their job? Do we need to change laws? Do we need to, obviously we need to keep our funding base stable, or if not, we have to lay off officers.
Right.
And I've never, since I was on, we never, you know, had to lay off peace officers. We might have gone through periods where we didn't hire anyone, but then it created a lot of vacancies.
Mm-hmm.
And once you have a lot of vacancies, you know, you have that element within the state, the poachers or whatever you have, that know that that's going on, that we're hurting for officers, and then the opportunity for them to take advantage of that vacant position is there.
Right.
So, but fortunately, and I think the current the enforcement administration is doing a good job on staying on top of that.
Mm-hmm. So what would you, if you could have the opportunity to speak to the public, what would you want the public to know about the job of a fish and game warden?
Well, I think that I think what I would like to pass on to the public would be that, you know, a fish and game warden is not just someone out there checking for a hunting license or a fishing license and making sure that, you know, you stay within your limits, but there's a lot more than that. Like I say, we talked about environmental issues,
mm-hmm.
The commercialization of the state's resources, the water issues, all those. It's not just a game warden doing the hunting licensing, the sportsman thing. There's a lot more involved. There's a lot more technical issues that are involved in a daily game warden's life.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in reality, I think a game warden has more responsibility than a regular police officer. And in addition to fish and game law, a game warden also enforces other laws, state, city, and county throughout the state. You know, we get involved with domestic disputes, and we get involved with making car stops on the road, drunk drivers, stolen vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
We get involved with all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, we basically, I think, we do it all.
You do it all.
You do it all.
Okay. So I think we're almost at the end of our interview. is there anything else that you'd like to share, or something that maybe we need to talk about?
No, I think as I look back at my career, like I said, it was very, very rewarding. And when I look back at that, you know, on a few occasions I'm able to watch the Wild Justice program and look back at a lot of the guys that are on it, and remembering the good old days, you know. And, I mean, we used to do it and when no one knew about it.
Right.
And now they're doing it and people are finding out about it.
Right.
Which is good. And then I'm also with, as far as myself personally, that I'm personally satisfied that I was the first Fish and Game Hispanic captain, mm-hmm. and then the first Hispanic assistant chief in department history, and a graduate of Sac State.
Yeah, that's amazing history in itself, and that's a great accomplishment.
And even though Fish and Game has made strides to focus on minority recruitment, mm-hmm. It's still, I don't think they're where they need to be, but that problem will always be there, I think, but you can only do what you can.
Right.
Educate the public and move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, educating the public in all aspects of Fish and Game and,
exactly.
and social issues and environmental issues, and that's equally important, yeah.
Exactly.
So. Okay, well, thank you for your time.
Well,
I
thank
really
you
appreciate
for, yeah, thank you for giving me the chance to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I'm sure, actually, we could probably talk a lot longer.
Oh, yeah. You can probably ride with me and we can keep talking all
day. Maybe do like a second interview. Okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome.